Hello.
Remind me, is this podcast deep opinions on shallow topics or shallow opinions on deep topics?
It's everything. It's Deeply Shallow with Matt and Tara. Whether you feel deep, shallow, or just plain petty,
take a ride through life with us. Matt and Tara, we chronicle it all.
Tell me the whole story, start from the beginning. What were you wearing?
Whether we are tackling aging, friendships, our spouses,
Hubba and Banana are the two luckiest people on earth.
Or any other of life's fun, we have different takes, but one goal. Get ready to laugh, shake your head, and wonder where our mothers went wrong.
I'm a 30-year-old woman, and I am still terrified of my mother.
Get in and hold on.
It's Deeply Shallow with Matt and Tara, and listener discretion definitely advised. Hey, hey, welcome to Deeply Shallow with Matt and Tara. Whether you're feeling deep or you're feeling shallow, you have come to the right place. I am your host, Tara, along always with my co-host. He has a favorite housewife, Mr. Matt Hanley.
Well, hello.
How's it going?
It's going great. You?
It's going pretty good.
Good. Tara, we always like to start out our show kind of checking in on our mental health awareness.
We do.
And it has been obviously a roller coaster for these last 3+ weeks. Well, pretty much our whole lives, but especially these last 3 weeks.
Right.
So for the new listeners, beginning of each show, we go 0 to 10, kind of ranking our mental health awareness and scoring it. Tara, where are you at today?
You know, I'm feeling pretty good.
Good.
But I'm having a little bit of some mom guilt right now.
Mom guilt.
Yes. So I'm going to say 7-ish.
Okay.
And here is the reason for my mom guilt. So this past weekend, Papa K was in town, my dad.
Right.
So whenever Papa K is around, it's a good time. He's a fun guy. He's a funny guy.
Very fun.
We go a little bit harder in the paint when Papa K's around. That being said, one day when we were out running around, we stopped to have lunch. And we're sitting at this restaurant, and when Papa K's around, you get all the good treats. So we ordered dessert.
But we have no Mama K. She's
no, she didn't come this time. We ordered dessert. It comes to the table. B sees this dessert coming to the table.
Now, let's just as a quick recap, because let me tell you, people really torched you pretty hard.
They did.
On a previous podcast about the naked chicken nuggets at Chick-fil-A, which is all that B's allowed to have. So I can imagine that if she sees a dessert first, I'm surprised she knows what it actually looks like. But go ahead.
Okay. So you're right. I am the food police mom that we trolled in our episode Raising Trolls. But the dessert's coming out and B's eyes just get so big, and the waitress brings it out and sets it on the table, and she goes, "Oh, mama, it's my birthday."
Oh my God.
I was like, oh my gosh. Like, she sees a dessert and she thinks it's her birthday.
This poor child.
I know. I actually did feel a little bad about it.
As
at
you
that
should
moment.
Have. As you absolutely should feel bad about that.
I was just like, well, you know, no, it's not your birthday, but it is a special occasion. Papa K's visiting. But just the fact that she initially thought it was her birthday because a dessert had been delivered to the table was, it kind of made me think, maybe.
This poor child, seriously.
Yeah, maybe I should cut her a break every so often.
God.
So,
what did your dad say? Did he react?
He kind of chuckled, then he looked at me. My parents are very supportive of pretty much all of my parenting, but they do.
Really?
I mean, for the most part, I guess.
Yeah.
But he did kind of shoot me a little side eye action. It was awkward.
Yeah. Sounds very awkward.
But anyway, how are you feeling? How's it going on your side?
Well, I mean, today I'm probably like six and a half. But I mean, over the last few weeks, like, it has been a roller coaster. Like, I had a good session with my counselor, my therapist on Friday, and it was the first session since we had launched the podcast. And so I was like blowing him back, like just
Right.
And I mean, his eyes were like this big. And of course, he's listening to the podcast, so he thinks it's great. But I was like, it has been a roller coaster of emotions. So, you know, it's been wild. But, you know, today I'm probably like six, but I always love recording days. You know, it's super fun. So, Tara, what are we going to talk about on the show today?
So we have been getting a lot of questions about our friendship. How did we become friends? All that good stuff. So we decided we're going to kind of let people in on the history of the Matt and Tara part of Deeply Shallow.
Okay. All right. We're going to get into it.
First things first, we are not actually siblings. We're...
Yes, that's correct.
Brother from another mother type
yes.
of...
Yes.
Situation.
Right. And this came up because the Banana... Now, you and Banana just... So, y'all's friendship dates back 5-6 years or more? Is that...
Try 10.
Okay, sorry. So then I come into the picture and the Banana has on more than one occasion said, how is it that one of my best friends and my husband are effectively like clones of one another? Just the male and female version.
Right.
And so that's where kind of this sibling thing came up.
It's a lot less weird to tell people, oh, you know, he's like my brother, than be like, oh, he's like my clone. Like, what?
Yeah, it's a little weird. Yeah. I mean, we don't really look alike.
No. But in families, there's always one who is better looking, funnier, in better shape. So, I mean, obviously that would be me.
Right, right.
So we could be siblings because we have those differences.
Yes, yes, of course. So, you know, it's unusual because really to have become such close friends and, you know, sibling, you know, kind of relationship, this actually has evolved over a relatively short period of time.
And it's so weird because when I think about my friendship with Banana, it feels like we've been friends forever, but also our friendship, it also feels like we've been friends forever.
Yeah, right. So we actually met about 2 weeks after the Banana and I started dating. Does that sound right?
Yes.
So probably the third date that Banana and I actually went on was a charity event. You may remember this. Our first informal, which you deny, our first informal introduction was that night because you were over at her house.
Right.
She was getting ready. You were helping, all of that stuff. You're kind of her, you know, self-proclaimed stylist, if you will.
Right.
And so you were there. But I actually spent most of the time with Loli, your pug.
Yes.
While y'all were in the bathroom getting, you know, getting ready or whatever.
Finishing getting ready.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So then I recall this figure coming out of, you know, a hallway with either a book or both your hands or something like covering your face. Do you remember this?
Yes. I think I opened the door, actually. I opened the door. I said, I was like, hey, she's not ready yet. Also, we're not going to meet tonight.
That's
so
right.
That is what's it. Just pretend I'm not here. Not like, oh, hey, you know, I'm Tara. Nice to meet you. I was like, no. I'm just opening the door, but we're not going to have an official meeting at this point.
Right, right, right. So then, you know, it kind of went from there as the Banana and I started dating and, you know, things were getting more serious, which was a very quick romance.
Yeah. Very quick is putting it mildly.
But I started...
If you guys have ever seen that show You on Netflix, you might want to give that a viewing if you want to know the true nature.
Like 90 Day Fiancé.
The creepy, stalkerish vibes that came from the both of them. I can't even put it all on Matt, but it was out of control.
I've never actually seen the 90 Day Fiancé show, but it seems the title seems to
be. You guys wish that it was 90 days. Like, yeah, I mean, people get engaged in 90 days. Yeah, that would have been an improvement for the two of you.
That would have been a long-term situation.
Yeah.
So it kind of morphed from there. I remember reaching out to you and trying to get some advice like on gifts, you know, obviously I was trying to impress. And so knowing you were, you know,
okay, trying to impress, this fool is sending me links to David Yurman and Tiffany's like 2 days after he met this woman. I was like, yo, you got to chill.
No. That is an absolute lie.
Okay, that's true. I didn't know how long he was going to be around, so I was like, yes, let's drain this dude of all the gifts and jewelry we can muster. Yeah,
that's
okay. So that is the actual truth.
That is true.
Yeah, you should diamonds. Yep, she likes diamonds a lot.
Okay, but so far though, like you would call the stores, you would find something, you were like, okay, she would love this.
Right.
This is what size. This is where, and this is what store has it. And I've already called and put it on hold for you.
Yes.
So just tell them that it's
exactly. You guys, it got so out of control with these gifts that Banana started referring to them as Jewelry Thursdays. Jewelry Thursdays.
Did she refer to this or was the name you gave?
No. Like... I have to give Banana full credit on that one. In fact, it was so insane that when Matt was proposing, he put all these roses going up the stairs to the loft. She didn't even suspect anything because he was just constantly showering her with romantic gestures.
And she deserves all the gifts.
Yes, for sure. I agree.
So then did we hang out really at all before like the first Super Show, or was that the first time that we hung out? I cannot remember.
You know, I really can't remember either.
Yeah.
Which the Super Show is the recital that we talked about in the 30-40
yes.
Club that I broke my knee at. It's a yearly thing.
Yes, so. But this was not at that particular one. This would have been like
this was 2 years ago. A few years ago.
So I know we hung out a little bit before. Was our first like double date before Super Show, or was that afterwards?
I don't remember.
This is the problem. So we sometimes refer to Tara as a goldfish because she will forget like what she had for lunch. Like we just had lunch. She will not remember what she had for lunch by the time she, you know, goes home today.
I don't have a great memory.
But clearly I don't either. But you know, and if we had known we were gonna be doing a podcast about this, we probably would have taken better notes.
Right.
But anyway, I recall you were a little testy at me at Super Show. But Anna and I had been just dating a few weeks at this point.
Right.
Yeah.
So I am the first to admit that. Just to give a little bit of background on the Banana. So when the Banana was going through her divorce, she moved in with me and we spent an extraordinary amount of time together.
Yeah, yeah.
We were close friends before.
Yeah.
We were even closer during all of this and afterward. And so I was very used to just being her person and taking care of her and being there for her. And so when you came into the picture, I was for sure jealous because y'all, like I said before, were stalkers of each other. Yeah, inseparable. It was gross.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I got a little bit of the green-eyed monster.
Yeah, yeah. So then at some point after that, shortly thereafter, we all, you and Hubba, the Banana and I, we all went to dinner. And what's funny is we went to like a hibachi place.
Mm-hmm.
I remember this. And this is where it first was exposed that our respective spouses have significant dining limitations.
Mm-hmm.
Hubba is allergic to fish, right?
Yes.
Is he allergic to all fish or just
shellfish?
He's
allergic to shellfish, but he will not eat any seafood of any kind.
And didn't you tell me one time, like, y'all walked into a restaurant and, like, just the, like, the
No,
the
so one time he had an allergic reaction to artificial crab. I was like, this fool. Dude, that is pretty much chicken that they've painted some red stripes on. But okay, drama. Let's go to the emergency room.
And the Banana has a very simple palate.
Mm-hmm.
She is not...
She's the pickiest eater in the world. We're not... We can't explain it. No one's going to understand it.
Right.
At B's birthday party at the Ritz-Carlton, she ordered chicken tenders.
Off the kids menu.
Off the kids menu.
Yeah, off the kids menu. She does order off the kids menu a lot because that's where she's comfortable. But...
So yes, we went to Hibachi.
Yes. And that was the first time... I think that was the first time that I had met Hubba.
Probably.
I don't think I had met him before that. So that was our first. And understand that this is all happening in, I mean, we're
hours.
measuring, we're,
me- hours, people. This is day one still. They just met.
We're talking, we're measuring this in days and weeks. This is what we have just described happened over about maybe a 3 week period. It was not
unacceptable amount of time.
I was going back to actually put this timeline together of like all these things that happened. I was like, there's no way all this happened in this short amount of time. I was like, oh yeah, no, it did.
Yeah, it's too embarrassing to share the actual dates.
Yeah.
So we went to Hibachi, which I will say Matt was really clever with this.
Yeah. So, you know, anybody who's in a relationship can hopefully relate to this. And if you are in the beginnings of a relationship yourself, let me tell you, it's important to get a mole inside the camp, inside the opposing camp. Okay. And Tara was the best mole ever. Like,
for sure.
And sometimes you might have to like entice the mole, like to help you. You know, you might have to like offer something. Really, all that Tara requires is like
free food.
Free food.
But we were talking about how I was so easily bought. So hopefully your mole has a unemployed husband and will do pretty much anything,
we'll do anything for
a free meal.
Lunch. They'll give all the information, give all the details.
Right. And I told Matt, I said, man, I was so easily bought. As we're sitting at a lunch that he is paying for, I was like, oh, still am, I guess. But okay.
Oh, that is so funny. Should we tell the vasectomy story?
Yes, we've got to tell the vasectomy story. The best one.
I never thought this would hit.
So 2 days after meeting and falling in love.
Just so everyone knows, I had already decided this. And I decided this in part to a really good friend of mine who had just had one and was like, oh, yeah, you know. So he's telling me like, oh, yeah, this is the easiest thing, whatever. And he offers to take me to this vasectomy. Now...
vasectomy appointment.
Yeah, this vasectomy, which is in the middle of the day. Okay. Now, I need everybody to understand, this is not, like, they make it out to be like it's nothing, and that is not correct.
Oh, my gosh. I'm not going to
compare it to childbirth or anything like that, but, and I won't go into the gory details, but effectively, all you get for the procedure, I mean, you're still wide awake, they give you, like, a Valium, like, to just relax you a little bit, but, so... when you go to the urology office, there's two people there. There are very old men, okay? And then there's, you know, younger guys there for the same purpose. So this buddy takes me to the appointment. I go back. They do the procedure. My buddy's in the waiting room. When the nurse comes to the door, because obviously you can't drive yourself home. So when the nurse comes to the door, the lobby...
such a significant procedure.
Yes. Okay, fine. The lobby is full of folks that I would say are 55 to 85 years old. Okay. And, you know, these sweet little couples, you know, like whatever, they're for, you know, a different type of appointment. The nurse opens the door and says, hey, whoever's here for Matt Hanley, he's ready. My buddy hollers out in the lobby full of people. Oh, thank God. I thought he bled out back there. And the lobby just, like, I mean, it is so uncomfortable. So uncomfortable that the nurse is telling me this story on a follow-up appointment.
Ugh.
Okay, so I'm recovering at Banana's house.
Right.
And she's doing something and you stop by.
Right.
Now, you're alleging that you did not know that I was having a vasectomy. That's, you're not sure? You can't remember?
I don't remember.
Okay. Well, anyway, but you realize once you come in, I've got a frozen bag of peas in my lap that... like,
right,
that this has happened.
Right.
So at the same moment, so Tara's in the living room, which faced the front yard and faced the street. About this time, the Bananas, my father-in-law, the Bananas dad, who's a wonderful guy, he was mowing the grass for the Banana. And he had done this, you know, for several months now. Well, my truck is parked like right on the street, right in front or whatever. So he comes in. Now, he has no idea, obviously, about this. So he comes to the door to see if I can move my truck. Well, me not wanting to tell my future father-in-law, was not my father-in-law at this time, me not wanting to tell my future father-in-law that, hey, you know, whatever. So he comes walking up to the door, and he knocks on the door, and I think the door was actually even open. And Tara, what do you do?
Open it wide up.
And then what do?
I don't remember.
You ran out of the room.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so Rick comes to the door.
Yes.
And I start to feel uncomfortable.
No, you panicked. Yeah. No, you're not uncomfortable. You panicked. I panicked. And you run out of the room.
Call leaving. ass.
Leaving me there sitting on the couch with a bag of peas on my lap. And just
I've seen your balls while your girlfriend's dad is mowing her lawn.
Yes. So then you bail and run into the other room, whatever. So now I'm just sitting there, have to have this very uncomfortable conversation, and then whatever. So folks, this is let this be your first lesson. She says she's good under pressure, but in that scenario, Tara bailed on me so fast.
There was too much happening. There was too much happening. And it was uncomfortable. Yeah. I had to leave.
In that moment, that was
it was the best.
Yes.
Okay, so while I did kind of sell you out,
yes,
in that moment, mm-hmm, I did defend you when the banana did not invite you to go to dinner with all of us after you busted your asshole weekend at Super Show.
Right. So Super Show, generally the way the schedule works is Friday, and we've already described this in detail, but Friday is the hell of moving everything from the gym over to the community college basketball gymnasium for this effective recital on Saturday. Then Saturday after the two shows, all the stuff has to get moved back to the gym, and then the staff goes to dinner.
It's the worst
48
days.
Hours. Yeah.
I got really pregnant when I did to avoid having to help move the floor 1 year.
Yeah. She's really,
I'm being
only
serious.
slightly being funny there. So
I'm 100% serious. It's not a coincidence.
So, okay. So all of this happens.
And this is day three.
No, it is not. We've known each other like 3 or 4 weeks.
Okay. Month. Whatever. So Matt's going to show up and help.
Yeah.
So he shows up wearing like these trendy athletic shorts and top and low top Converse.
First of all, guys don't wear tops. They wear shirts.
Okay, whatever. And I just thought,
but I did have Converse on.
This fool has no idea what he's in for.
And
moving,
I didn't.
Moving this floor is a biatch.
Right.
It is ridiculous.
And everything else that goes along with it. I mean, there's a lot to, I mean, the floor is just like, I mean, it's a big piece of it, but there's so much stuff that has to happen.
So he doesn't complain all weekend. He helps. He's in it to win it. You know, he's boyfriend of the year over here.
Thank you.
And we get done. And
by the way, where was Hubba that weekend?
I don't let him help with the floor because his hands are literally my retirement plan.
He can't cut flowers in the...
No.
Okay.
Hubba does not help with Super Show.
Okay, go ahead.
After we get everything back to the gym and get set up.
On Saturday. Yeah.
Banana afterwards. Always rewards us by taking us out to dinner and letting us get wasted.
Okay.
So we start to go and I'm looking around and I said, where's Matt? And she said, oh, I sent him home. I was like, what? She said, I mean, like, you know, it's just going to be the staff. I said, you sure worked his ass like he was the staff all weekend. And she was like, do you think I should invite him? I was like, if he ever answers your calls again, yeah, I would probably invite him. She was like, okay, well, you know, I'll call him. I said, go call him right now. Chase him down in the parking lot. I was like, he is never going to talk to you again. And she did. She called.
Yes. So, yeah. And I came out. It was a great time. Apparently, there was a unicorn.
He was hiding behind the dumpster waiting for her to call.
That is not true. I was already home.
Okay.
No, I was already home and I was actually out running when, believe it or not, I was actually out running when she called. But
man, how things have changed.
So, okay. So then.
Okay, but Matt, what were you thinking when she sent you on your way?
I was.
Don't be a liar. Do not lie.
No, I was a little bit miffed, but I did get it. I was like, I mean, I understood like, it's a slippery slope because if you start inviting, you know, boyfriends or husbands or whatever, like it, you know, kind of starts to lose the reward aspect. But which now since then, that's been loosened up.
Yeah.
Now spouses and boyfriends and, you know, randoms you want to invite can come to the to the celebration after Super Show. So then fast forward. So this is in, would this have been in early May?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Along this time, you and Hubba had been already accepted to med school,
mm-hmm,
and y'all were moving to College Station in July.
Right.
But your lease was up at the end of May, right?
Right.
Okay.
And he was actually going to go to med camp.
Which lasts for a month.
Right.
Okay.
The month before we would actually move down there. So right when our lease was ending, he was getting ready to go to med camp.
Right.
And this is how You guys, when I say this was a quick romance, this is how quick it was. I had already asked her, can I stay with you while Hubba's at school and, you know, my lease will be up.
This is before we met.
This is before they even met. Okay. Yeah. When Matt says fast forward, he means like jump ahead 1 second. Let me tell you everything that happened between me asking if I could move in with her. She met Matt Hanley. They fell in love. He moved in with her.
Yeah.
Then she sold her house and moved in with him. All within, like, I'm looking around like, excuse me, you promised me a place to live.
So,
which I'm sure wasn't helping the case of me being a little bit peanut butter and jelly what was going on.
So, but we still honored our commitment. So,
yeah. So instead of getting, you know, a bedroom, living with my friend for a month, they're like, here, like, knock yourself out in this Paw Patrol room.
Well, first of all, when the banana sold her house, we had no idea it would move that fast, but they were like, we want you out in 15 days, blah, blah. And so that part was insane.
And you know why? One of the reasons that her house, that they wanted her house so bad was when Matt Hanley moved in. How long did you live there, Matt? Like a week or two, maybe?
Probably.
Okay, so Matt had his assistant pack up his house, move it over, unpack it, and then she literally had to go back and repack. I mean, he lived there maybe a week. In this 1 to 2 week period, he had a giant banner made to hang outside of their house that said, welcome to our OUR in giant capital letters.
This
welcome,
is so embarrassing.
Welcome to our house. I was like, this is going to kill her. I'm going to show up one day and he's going to be wearing her as a robe. And I'm supposed to just be like, is banana?
Oh my gosh.
Okay. No, I'm not done. So guys, that was the banner on the outside. We have more than one banner going up right now. I'm literally about to cry. You're so psychotic.
This is the problem.
When you know you've been through a nasty divorce when everyone's looking around like, I mean, he seems okay. You are married to a real piece of shit if the guy hanging a banner outside your house is the case, okay?
This is the problem when you have, in my life, I have clients that do every imaginable, you know, type of work. And this is what happens when you have a client that has a banner shop. Like, they're not willing to say, hey, this is probably a terrible idea.
Side note, this person is no longer a client. They cut ties pretty quickly.
That's not true. That is not true. They're still clients. But
okay, so back to the inside banner. So he also had a banner put up that when she pulled into the garage, it said, you are the most beautiful, amazing, talented, strong woman in the world.
Is that what it said?
It was really close to that, if not identical. Barf. The people who bought Banana's house requested that the banner inside the garage stay.
Yeah. So what does that say? Somebody else did like it. Tara.
I mean.
Anyway.
I guess.
All right. So then we had. So fast forward. Memorial Day comes and goes. And we get the Banana's house sold. And Tara and Lola move in.
Yes.
For a month.
Mm-hmm.
About.
So I lived here Monday through Thursday.
Right.
And then I lived with our other friends, Zach and Casey, Thursday through Sunday.
Right.
I was just a gypsy.
But during that time, we had some fun times while
we
you were
did.
Here.
We had some good times.
Yeah. We went out a few times, and there was one Thursday night that I recall we pretty much chalk outlined you on the floor of my bathroom.
Yes. I had a little bit too much to drink that night.
And we were just hanging out.
Yeah.
Telling just stories.
Chilling at the bar.
Yeah. We were just telling stories.
The bar at y'all's house.
Yeah. At the house. And all of a sudden, like, Tara gets up and you can tell it hit her. She had not stood up since she had sat down. And it was like,
uh-oh.
Ruh-roh. Yeah. So.
But I mean, luckily I had waited until a Thursday night that you had your kids.
Yeah. Yeah. The kids were here too. That was also fun. They've seen the chalk outline.
for sure. That was so funny.
We had fun. So needless to say, we lived a lot of life together in mm-hmm. a very short amount of time.
Yes.
And for whatever reason the universe works, we just were able to establish a really cool friendship.
Yes.
But the thing that I think really bonded us was our relationship with our mothers.
Yes, I would concur. We effectively have a support group of two.
Yes.
We have mothers who have very, very high expectations of us.
Yes, they do.
When we do not meet those expectations, they have no problem letting us know.
These are not participant trophy moms.
Correct.
We were really able to connect on having very strong mothers.
Yes. Because something would come up and you would be telling me about it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I have a very similar, experience, with XYZ. So then, effectively we became a support group for our very demanding mothers.
Yes.
Yeah. And to this day,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I am 40 years old. My mother works for me. It's every day. She turns 71 years old and still rides me like a rented mule.
My mom always tells me, if you want to hear what you want to hear, ask a friend. If you want to hear the truth, ask me.
Dang. They're just cut from a little bit of a different cloth, a different mm-hmm. mothering cloth.
Yeah.
We're not saying it's wrong, but we are saying it's harsh.
It's intense.
So then you guys move to College Station. But before you're able to move to College Station, we had two big tasks that we had to pull off.
We did.
And we do, when we get something in our minds of something we're going to do, it's big.
Hence the podcast.
When we get something in our mind, it's like, okay, we shoot for the stars and we will hit it.
Exactly.
So we planned a great party for the banana.
Right.
And that was like in mid-May or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we blew it out, private dining at a steakhouse. We had a suite at the W overlooking American Airlines Center. And I mean, we absolutely blew it out. It was an amazing, amazing night.
It was.
And as crazy as this sounds, before you moved to College Station, we also had like the biggest caper we've ever pulled off.
Mm-hmm.
We had to go ring shopping.
We did.
Because that was where we had, that's where we were. And we'd gotten a recommendation from a private jeweler, from Casey's husband, who had said, go see this guy. So, because I had done a little preliminary shopping at like what you would consider just your normal jewelry store, and it's basic. So we make an appointment with this private jeweler, and we get an address. And of course, I said, Terry, you've got to go with me. When we get there, we're in a neighborhood.
Right.
We're not in a retail section of town. We're in a neighborhood. And I'm feeling like this has to be the wrong place. So right. We verify, and it's like, nope, it's a house.
Yeah.
We knock on the door and like, hey, and so.
You sell diamonds here?
Yeah, this is where we go. That was a super fun afternoon.
It was. It was really fun to put this together for her and to watch Matt cry doing it.
Okay, fine. When you go to someone like a private jeweler,
right?
They have a significant inventory that most places will not show you.
Right.
So when he asked a few questions kind of up front, and this mm-hmm. jeweler only makes one-off stuff, so he won't replicate a design that he's already done or whatever. So we told him kind of what we were looking for. And then he steps out and he comes back in with hundreds of thousands of dollars of diamonds for us to look at.
It was crazy.
It was crazy. So much so that we kind of narrowed it down to two.
Mm-hmm.
And then this was the wildest part. He was like, he put them in kind of whatever they call it, a temporary setting.
Right.
And then he was like, we'll take them outside in the front yard and kind of so you can see how the sun will hit them. Okay.
We were like, we just walk right out with here these?
And then he's like, yeah. So we walk outside and we, you know, we kind of get our selection made. We figure out what.
I guess all the tears made him think that he could probably take you if he needed to.
Yes. Well, I wasn't crying through my tears eating my chicken nuggets, but whatever. So we make our selection. We figure out this is what the banana would want, and we put him to work. And that was our best caper to date. Since then, we pulled off some other ones, but
right.
So then you guys moved to College Station, and I mean, this was a tough move for you,
right?
I mean, it was only going to be for a year,
yes,
right? So yes, the first year of medical school that y'all moved to College Station, and you had already lined up like
several visits,
and you know, we already had stuff to do and all that. And so that I would almost guarantee is when we really we started talking a lot, and probably some of it's because I'm the only one that will answer the phone during the day.
Yeah. So I worked from home when we lived in College Station.
Yes.
And I would get so bored.
Yes.
And so I would just call Matt. He would call me. We would talk about nothing.
Nothing. It's like Seinfeld episode every time we called. Yes.
Right. And my friend Casey called where we lived the Four Seasons because I only had to live there for four seasons.
Yeah.
And everyone was kind of just would take turns comforting me.
Yes.
Having to live in College Station, not because College Station is a bad place to live.
You just
but
didn't
because
know, you just
I didn't know anyone.
Anybody.
I had left every one of my friends
right.
and people I loved behind.
And you're working from home.
I'm bored.
Yeah. It was, but you kind of knew that going in. And
right.
It actually turned out to be a pretty, I mean, pretty fun place when we came down.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's actually a lot to do there. And,
yeah.
And it was a good time. But we moved to College Station and boom, life started happening.
Yes.
Quickly.
Yes.
So to no one's surprise, you and the banana got married very quickly.
Engaged.
Oh, yes. You got engaged.
Yes.
And married.
We got engaged at the end of July, which worked out perfectly. We actually drove the next day to College Station. We already had a trip planned to come down there, and it was we had so much fun. We
yes,
really did.
It was
we
a good time.
It was a great time. Tara pulled off a amateur/professional photo shoot in the woods next to her apartment.
I did.
For the engagement photos.
Yes. I did. I forgot about that.
Was, that. Yeah, that was like that Saturday morning or whatever.
Yes.
No, maybe it was that Saturday before we went out. But
right.
We found that really cool wine bar in Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
That was so fun.
Yeah.
And the hotel.
Yes. We have dinner at that little hotel.
At the hotel. Yeah. So
yeah.
Bryan and College Station they got a lot to offer, but that was.
So then I got knocked up.
So, okay. So October, so we managed through summer. You have lots of visitors. So then I get a call in October and the call was,
I'm pregnant.
Uh-oh.
Help me tell the banana.
So that put us on another trajectory, another journey, and another wild ride. So not only are you in College Station for a year by yourself, but you're going to spend most of it pregnant.
Yeah. That's how bored I was, everyone.
Oh. Pretty quickly after you found out you were pregnant, the banana says, okay, what do you want us to do? Do you want us to host a baby shower, or do you want us to do a gender reveal for you?
Gender reveal.
And you said gender reveal, and I'm going to tell you, I've had some over-the-top ideas in my life, but I think this one was by far the craziest. So
let me tell you guys, if there's anyone to ever plan your gender reveal, pick the guy who hangs a banner outside of your friend's house.
Yeah. So see, now you want that. Okay. So fast forward to February. You had asked, that's when you wanted to do. So the day before the Super Bowl that year, we do a gender reveal at the loft. Now, our loft is obviously on the second story, and we're in a downtown, we're on Main Street, we're in downtown, whatever. So the banana said she already had in her mind, she wanted this precious cargo theme. Because years ago, when y'all had talked at some point, you had said if you had a son, you really want to name him Baron.
Yes.
Okay. Now, this is all before the Trump election, who Donald Trump has a son named Baron. So
right.
it was this whole thing. But she wanted this precious cargo concept or whatever. So it was great. And the banana did amazing job with all of the, you know, this, that, and the other. But I really got into it. And maybe we'll post a couple of pictures. But
right.
I actually found like a World War II parachute to attach to the ceiling of our loft because we have like these 14-foot ceilings, and then like the lines came down to this cargo box that would, you know, that you would have dropped out of a plane and stuff. Anyway, it was super legit, but that wasn't enough.
No.
And so I'm sitting talking to one of my talking to my assistant in my office, and I said, I think we need a plane. And she was like, okay, let's get a plane. So I guess I did run it by you.
Well, I think that kind of what started it was the name Baron. Like you were joking, you were teasing me that you were going to have like pizza delivered or something.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was like, okay, air travel, you know, the Red Baron, like all of that kind of conversation. So then I thought, well, how cool would that be to do the gender reveal with an airplane pulling a banner.
This guy loves a banner, you guys.
Pulling a banner that said, you know, whatever the gender was. Right. And I was like, this is great. So I put my assistant on it, and she actually did a tremendous amount of legwork. Shout out. So she comes back to me and she says, okay, there's a company in Miami. And I was like, uh-huh. And she's like, they're the ones who do all of that. Because you've seen these planes like at football games and stuff like flying around, you know.
You know, I did not know that Miami thing till right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So she finds this company. They're in Miami, and they're who do all the Super Bowl and all the big events and all that stuff. And so what they do is there's this one company, and they contract this out to pilots all over, you know, all over the United States to do these. But the thing was, we weren't going to be able to tell them what to put on the banner until just a few days before, because you had a doctor's appointment, then the person from the doctor's office was going to call us, tell us what it was, and then we had to call these people. Now, when I tell you these people at the airplane, at this company, when I tell you they got excited about it because they had never done one of these. Now, you have lots of variables, weather, wind. I mean, there's lots of things you cannot control, timing. And so what they were going to do was they were going to fly by, and then they were going to be dragging the banner, and we have these huge windows at the front of the loft, and they were going to see, you know, we were going to reveal the gender of the baby. This was the most nerve-wracking experience of my life. I immediately regretted it like a few days out, because I was like, what if this, what if this, what if this? So the bananas kind of got a backup plan.
They couldn't even guarantee that we'd be able to see it from where we were,
because of weather and all that stuff, whatever. So, but they were good. And you can't, this is like an open airplane that's dragging this. So it's not like you can call the pilot. Okay. Right. Or, you know, whatever. So, and they were going to come out of McKinney, which is about 30 minutes away. And we'll post something so people can see what it. So two things about this event that were crazy. One is that we get everybody up here, and there's probably, 70, 80 people here for
that.
There
was a lot.
There were a lot of people here for that. And then what you also don't know is that when they pick up the banner, they pull it behind them the whole way. They don't just, like, let it out at the back, like, when they get ready to show it. So this guy is flying from 40 miles from here with this banner behind him. Well, thank goodness we have terrible cell phone reception down here, because as they're flying in, a group of soccer players in Sherman, which is where Hubba's from, saw it and started texting him.
Right.
Well, luckily, he does not get any of these texts. Thank goodness.
Yes.
The plane ended up being about maybe 7 or 8 minutes like into the window. So the banana is like trying to entertain all of these people for several minutes, which felt like an eternity.
Right.
And then finally, we hear the plane. I hear the engine or whatever, and, you know, turns all around. You're the first people to see it, and it says, "Baby Melton is a girl."
Yes,
and that's
when we knew we were getting a little B.
Yeah, that's when we knew. Which I had, just for the record, I had predicted this. I was completely. And when you see these pictures that we're going to post, you'll notice everyone is in blue.
I swore I was having a boy. I swore.
I did not have anything pink to wear that day, or I would have. But yes, from the jump, I had said that this was going to be a girl. So then B was born in June.
So B was born in June, early June. We moved back to Dallas at the end of June. And Banana and Matt got married on the 1st of July.
On the 1st of July, which we'll tell that story another time. But literally, you moved back, living with Casey while y'all looked for an apartment, and B would have been how old when you helped us with the wedding?
I mean,
weeks?
Just a few weeks old. Not even a month old.
Yeah.
You know, it's so crazy, because life can change so fast. So much can happen in a year.
Yes.
Watching one of my closest friends go from being so unhappy to meeting this stalker guy and having this whirlwind romance that leads to him moving in, then her selling her house and moving in with him, to me moving in with them, to them having this quick engagement, to me getting pregnant and having my first child, and them throwing this gender reveal and then them getting married. Life is just crazy.
It is crazy.
And to think that now we're here doing this podcast that has been more successful already than we ever imagined is just insane.
Yes.
So really what I kind of want people to get out of this is that this is a weird friendship that we have.
Yes.
And we know that, but it just really works for us.
It does.
If you're going through something right now that is causing you pain or unhappiness, I hope you hear the story and you can laugh with us, and just keep in mind, a lot can change in a year.
A lot can change.
Your whole life can change.
Absolutely. No question. No question. Yeah. Yeah.
And that is the Matt and Tara story from Deeply Shallow.
That's right. Okay, Tara, it's now that time. Your favorite segment of the show.
I hate that.
What are you hating this week?
You know, talking about friendship, I hate / it makes me sad when people stay in friendships that are toxic or not healthy for them.
Right.
Especially at our age.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that.
You don't.
There are people out there who will value you, will treasure your friendship.
Right.
And just because you've known someone for a long time doesn't mean you have to put up with a subpar level of friendship.
Yes, I agree 100%.
Some of my closest friends in life I have found after college, which is crazy, but it's the truth. So never settle for any kind of relationship, but especially friendship, because it makes life so sweet.
Yes.
What about you, Matt? You hate anything?
Yeah, so I'm going to be more on a petty nature.
Yes.
More of a first world problems.
Yes, please.
So I'm hating that I am not a man of enough resources to have someone drive me around.
Mm.
I have been chauffeured for a couple of events that we've had lately. And I realize if you had someone who drove you, especially being where we live, which can mean for long commutes and all that stuff, if I had someone who could drive me all the time, I could get so much more done.
Yeah, it would be really nice to have someone to drive me around.
If I ever made it big, that would be my, I think that'd be my one big splurge. I would prefer someone to drive me so that I did not have to do that. And I would absolutely prefer for someone to drive the banana around.
Yeah,
just
that's
because
dangerous.
She's a terrible driver. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
we could do a whole podcast on time she's almost killed us in the car.
Yes. Yes. That would be a topic.
All right, y'all, that brings us to the end of our episode. We hope that we have answered your questions and made you laugh, and you have enjoyed getting to know us a little bit better.
And just remember, we may sound shallow, but the depth is real.
And don't forget to check us out on Instagram at Deeply Shallow Podcast.
Hey, Tara, we've really enjoyed our podcast experience, but I think we would both agree that creating and launching a podcast is way more than just recording content. We had no idea how much technology could help or hurt a podcast. I mean, we could be spending hours on editing, audio quality, uploading to a hosting service, just to name a few.
Totally agree. We interviewed several companies and couldn't be happier with Riley and his team at Podigy. Their skills, passion, and professionalism have proven to be the best partners for us.
Yeah, that's podigy.co, podigy.co. Right now, they're offering 25% off first month services for new podcasters.